I'm trying to do the intro here. Sorry. You're making this very difficult for me. Today is 8/13/2015, and you're tuned into Transparency, a podcast from Aim High Academy of Martial Arts and the Aim High Foundation. I'm here with Cyrus, the one and only Cross. I'm your host, Dan Sickens. How you doing, Cy?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. We're having technical difficulties. Like, what's new, right? We're on one microphone, but we're going to deal with this one.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Last week, or actually earlier this week, you and I were sitting down and talking about the re-release of what we're calling the intelligent curriculum. And you were coming up with some really good key points on what makes it extremely difficult to talk about an intelligent curriculum and make it relative to martial arts and then make it even easy to explain to anybody who has a preconceived notion of what martial arts is and how we're trying to change the role through the intelligent curriculum. How do you feel about that?
I feel that it is a very difficult thing to speak about, and it is it's very difficult to educate the modern public on these kind of things, because while karate and taekwondo have gained popularity over the past 50, 60 years, obviously, there are a lot of misconceptions still, and it has to be a progressive thing. It is a progressive thing, martial arts, and so we believe that we're on the cutting edge, the forefront of the progression of where martial arts is heading. And so trying to spread that knowledge and trying to clearly define what the intelligent curriculum means and what the non-martial aspects of martial arts mean is a very difficult thing.
That's very elegantly said. Good job. I remember a point that stuck out that I was talking to Quanjim Jeremy about, because he's actually the one who's rewriting it. He's going to be releasing it to similar points to what you were mentioning. But something that you had said is the history of martial arts and what was relative. Say you want to go learn a Japanese karate and why that was developed. And
so when it comes to most martial arts styles, they obviously came originally from techniques used for war, for way before guns were invented. We had to fight hand to hand, and so those just the physical aspect came from that initially. I mean, you can trace martial arts back hundreds upon hundreds of years, but what it usually boils down to is that when a martial art was developed, for instance, there's at least one style of Okinawan karate where you see nunchucks, you see the kamas. Those came from farm implements. At least in one martial arts style, it came about because Okinawan farmers needed to defend themselves against the samurai of the shogunate. And so if you take that martial art and you try to apply it to 2015, you don't really usually have to worry about, hiding your martial arts weapons and your farm implements, and you don't really have to worry about the shogunate trying to take over your farmland and subjugate you. And so when you even look at techniques that were developed for a mostly unarmed person to fight an armored person, that stuff isn't really going to be 100% applicable to, the needs of today. Most martial arts are like that. Capoeira from Brazil, it is disguised as a dance. And the reason is because people weren't allowed to practice any kind of martial art. They could dance. No one cares about dancing. It keeps the people happy. And so even an oppressive government due to an oppressive government who won't allow people to try to defend themselves or learn to defend themselves, it came about that they're able to disguise it, hide it, and dance. And so Capoeira right now has some fantastic ideas that I'm sure people could use for self-defense. However, learning it as an entire martial art, it would be beneficial to learn the culture and to immerse oneself. But not every single technique and every single concept is going to make a lot of sense to self-defense in 2015. So that's why we really need to distill some of the concepts and further go beyond the martial aspects of the concepts and figure out what other ideas we can take from these martial arts and apply them to today.
So something that is a common thread about what you just said is like the villages that are protecting their land from the shogun, or the villages that are pretending to dance while they're learning their martial art, and that relates to the culture of the people of that time frame. And so they developed a self-defense technique that allowed them to safely protect themselves. So fast forward into 2015, we also are in a village, and we also have our own culture, and we are also trying to develop our own techniques to defend ourselves that is relative to today's world.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly it. What are the issues that people face today? Your average human who is encountering a dangerous situation, it's completely different. And that's exactly it. The martial art is, I said earlier, it's progressive. And some people like to say that, you know, martial arts are the opposite of progressive. Hundreds upon thousands of years old arts, what right do we have to change them now? But I think it's not only progress, it's a necessity and a responsibility to progress. We have to adapt to the times. If you're defending yourself and your arm breaks, you have to adapt to having one arm. You're not going to use that arm to punch that person. And so you have to adapt at every level of martial arts training. Important to adapt to the culture of the time so it can, you know, you can use the martial arts training that you do.
So that's been a big struggle for us. 2009, we really started adapting the nonprofit model. And although it was in its infancy, it would only be in 2014 that we've kind of matured and really pursued that nonprofit model. So now from a big fish in a small sea, as a martial arts school, as giant as we are, you know, tooting our own horn a little bit, we're a very small nonprofit compared to the sizes of other nonprofits that are competing for donor support. And a message that's been extremely hard to convey to donors is, why is martial arts relevant as a charity, as a nonprofit, when so many schools are for-profit? So talking with you and the team through our means of our curriculum that we've been doing for the last 10 years, the intelligent curriculum, we're out in the world making a difference through self-defense. So how do you tell a new customer walking in the door this? How do you convey that message that makes us unique?
Trying to explain the connections between, as it's seen, the popular conceptions of martial arts, and trying to make a connection to everyday life. But now it's kind of the point where I have to pick and choose exactly what aspect of it I want to talk about. I think there's so many different reasons and so many different ways that it can you can connect martial arts concepts to the real world. We talk about one big area of contention for a lot of the black belt testers and the fusion side in the past has been environmental acts of kindness.
Yeah. Yep.
Why do I have to pick up trash to get my black belt? And it's funny, there are a few different ways to look at it. I was talking with Maria, and she had the best little anecdote that it became a necessity to teach people to be responsible human beings while teaching them how to be weapons. With great power comes great responsibility. And she said it more funny than I did. She said, you don't want a bunch of little Cobra Kais running around, so you've got to make sure that with handing someone a weapon, you have to teach them the responsibility to use. Back to the environmental thing specifically, you can look at it the way that if we don't spread the message, this obviously depends on how you're politically aligned, but we are destroying the planet. It doesn't matter if you agree with me or not, it's true. And we have to do something about it. Taking Aim High as just a little microcosm of the world, if we can affect change in our small community, then that change is going to spread out further. And so if we don't protect the planet, if we don't defend the planet, we won't have bodies to defend. It's a far-reaching, it's a huge scope. But it's very important, and if we don't start on a small level, then it's never going to spread to a big level. And so we're trying to do our part in that aspect, and we think that we should educate people as much as we can on those concepts.
I think that's a huge, huge issue. I mean, you're talking about a global awareness there. So we have our black belt candidates out on the beach cleaning up. We have them being responsible for seeing the trash and whatnot that's around them, and there's that global impact. But relative to them as a person, they're able to understand that they do affect their surroundings. So it's interesting all these different angles that we can make the intelligent curriculum relative to today's world. How do you think, Sai, that would apply to a student doing kicks and punches on the floor?
Well, the nature of martial arts dictates that you absolutely have to practice these techniques and these concepts thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. And not everyone is built for that kind of thing, and at least not initially. Of course, anything can be learned. And so through the martial arts training, you have to keep yourself really in check. You have to make sure that you've got the discipline to continue doing it correctly thousands upon thousands of times over years. You have to keep your attitude in check. You have to keep your
That's
focus.
Been a hard one for me, is keeping that attitude in check.
I think we've all been there. I think that's is another funny thing. Martial artists, I think martial arts brings out every aspect of a person, good and bad, and through exploring those, you know, the deep emotions that one has and then grow in that area.
It helped me. I was apparently a kid with a temper problem when I was 4.
Oh, yeah. I still feel like a kid with a temper problem sometimes.
Got to practice that. Teacher Randall, 10 breaths, folk. Well, I've had the honor to work with people from all different countries. Ireland, Germany, Mexico, Canada. Is Hawaii its own country? We have we're meeting with a gentleman next week who's in from Hawaii who wanted to make the stop here to talk about what we're doing. And also nationwide, you know, we come together as martial artists, and, you know, if there's some sort of advice that I can give somebody that would help them progress in their own style of martial art, then, you know, we've done our good. But yeah, it's been a wild ride, and I don't claim to know exactly what I'm talking about because we're the first ones trendsetting it, you know?
Being the, yeah, it's interesting when you're trying to spearhead a new concept, when people are looking up to a new thing, then, like martial arts, you have a responsibility to try to educate those people on it. What I was getting at is the fact that there are no illusions in the world about martial arts instructors becoming, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's also not a get-rich-slow scheme. It's just not a get-rich scheme. So the only reason that people would actually be going out of their way to contact you about what we do here is because they see value in the lessons that we are teaching. And so in that aspect, part of our mission has already taken a few steps further than when we started.
It's crazy. We're going to be celebrating 10 years here in September, a decade, and it's clear that we're still trying to figure this whole thing out. Most schools don't make it 10 years. And the ones that do, usually you see burnout in the instructors. And I know we've struggled through that. And so that we want to keep reinventing what we do and making sure that it's challenging and interesting for everybody here on team. But we've retained a lot of the original people who started here. I think you were here, you're celebrating 10 years yourself, right? January, 10 years. Wow.
I started working here. I started training with you. Myself, Nate, and John started training with you in December of 2005.
Hey, can I use the space? Thanks. The next time you see Cyrus, ask him about that story. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. If you're still listening to us and you're not falling asleep after this amazing podcast with Mr. Cyrus Cross and myself, Jeremy Smith's working with his team closely to develop a revision of the intelligent curriculum that we set sail 10 years ago to change what martial arts is in today's world. Cyrus and I are still looking for a way to be able to brand properly what we do. And Cyrus, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to sit down with us. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, thank you for listening, everybody. And thank you. Thank you, Danny, for letting me be part of this.
That's amazing, sir. All right. Well, we hope to have you back here, Cyrus. Have a good day.
Thank you.